best-selling author Tess Gerritsen took a notable route to her writing career. While on maternity leave from her work as a physician, she began to write fiction. She published her first novel in 1987. Call After Midnight, a romantic thriller, was followed by 8 more romantic suspense novels. She also wrote a screenplay, Adrift, which aired in 1993 as a CBS Movie of the Week. Tess's first medical thriller, Harvest, was released in 1996. The book marked her debut on the New York Times bestseller list. Her books have now been published in 40 countries, with more than 25 million copies sold around the world. Her newest title, Last to Die, is the 10th in her extremely popular series, featuring homicide detective Jane Rizzoli and medical examiner Mara Iles. The books inspired the TNT Rizzoli and Iles series, starring Angie Harmon and Sasha Alexander. Now retired from medicine, Tess writes full-time, keeping readers around the world turning those pages. Welcome, Tess. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy book tour to talk to the Book Report.
Thank you for having me.
The Last to Die is your 10th Rizzoli and Iles novel. Are you already working on the 11th?
I'm doing the, preliminary thought work on it. I know what it's about, but I just haven't quite figured out how I'm going to go about writing this story.
One thing I really enjoyed, I was watching in one of your interviews, and you said you often don't know the ending of a book until you are midway through or even further on. Is that scary for you?
Oh, it's terrifying. I mean, it's like jumping off a cliff and not knowing where you're going to land. I've tried to plot stuff out ahead of time, and it never works. I always end up going off the rails anyway. So I think it's best for me just to be inspired by a situation at the beginning and just see where it takes me.
Yeah. Was this book, The Last to Die, tougher to write because so much of it revolved around children and violence?
In a sense, it was, but it also helped that the three principal children are really the detectives in this story. They are victims, yes, but they're also survivors. And I love to see these three children who are really misfits, who bond together throughout the course of the book, become victorious by the end.
You know, they really are interesting characters, so well written. When you're writing novels in a series like this one, how do you balance introducing your characters to new readers while keeping it fresh for your returning readers?
I think it's a bit like being introduced to somebody you've never met before. You're seeing them at this particular time, and you see what happens from this time on. You don't know what their past is. So I feel that readers can pick up a Rizzoli and Iles book anywhere in the series and just see where they are at that moment in time. If they want to find out how Jane met her husband, you know, how she had her baby, and how she and Mara first met, they will just have to go backwards in the stories.
Now, when you first heard that Angie Harmon and Sasha Alexander were going to play Rizzoli and Iles, what were your thoughts? Did you think the casting guys had it right?
Well, I think the big thing for me was that in the books, Jane Rizzoli is quite ordinary looking. She's not a gorgeous woman. And when I heard that they cast Angie Harmon, I thought, whoa, now she's become beautiful. But I think the important thing is that Angie has the personality to match Jane's. I mean, it almost feels as if she was meant to play this role. They changed Mara Iles a little bit more. Now she's a lot more glamorous and a lot funnier and a lot, I guess, sunnier is the word. In the books, Mara is quite dark and almost a little bit disturbed. But I think that they chose the right chemistry to make this work on TV.
Have you ever wanted to write one of the TV episodes?
No, I'm so busy working on the books. They've asked me very graciously to join them in the writer's room, but I think I'm a little intimidated. And the other thing is, TV writing is so demanding and it's so quick. They have to turn in a new script every 2 weeks. I don't know how they manage it. It must be totally frantic. I rather like the time, I get to write a whole novel.
Well, I know that you are a physician. Do you have a personal theory why physicians also make great authors?
Well, the medical training has influenced the writing in that I know how to write about doctors. I know how to write about medicine. So when I get into into Mara Iles' head, I'm bringing my own experiences in because she's a doctor. I don't think that doctors are necessarily better writers. What we have is great material. We are exposed to people in crisis situations, and this is stuff that we can use in our stories. But scientific training almost saps the writing energy out of you. It makes you be very objective and scientific, and you're not playing on your emotions. To be a good writer, you need to really pay attention to your emotions.
And the details, which you always get so right. What branch of medicine did you practice? I mean, you weren't an ME.
No, I'm an internal medicine specialist, which means in adult medicine that's not surgical.
All right. And is Mara based on a colleague of yours, or is she a sort of a composite?
She is very much like me. I mean, her personality is like me, and we both believe in logic, science. We both went to the same medical school and undergraduate. We both majored in the same, anthropology as an undergraduate. So I use my own life as a shorthand for hers. The difference, of course, is that she's unhappily not partnered up with anybody, and she's an ME.
When you're sitting down to, begin thinking of a new novel, how do you decide which sort of secondary characters to bring forward? Your cast of characters is always so rich.
It really depends on the story. If the story requires a woman buried in a box, as it did in Body Double, I try and get into their heads. And sometimes the stories are launched on the character. I mean, it's the character who starts the story. And in the case of Last to Die, it was one of the female teenagers. It was Claire Ward who got the story started for me. So the richness of her character came first, and then the story followed her.
Are you also working on, quote, in your spare time, a different kind of a standalone novel?
I have ideas for it, but I think that they're going to have to be on the back burner because my next Rizzoli and Isles book is, I have to work on that first, and that's going to be number 11, and I think that the the readers want that one.
Yeah. All right. You currently live in Maine. Do you ever bump into another famous maniac? By that, I mean Mr. Stephen King.
Yes, I have met him. And in fact, I ran into his wife not that long ago. So I know them. He and Tabitha are, they're native mayors. They are really, they just really belong there, and they're wonderful. They're down to earth. And not only is he talented, he is smart to a scary degree.
he's a great friend of a good friend of mine, Dave Barry, who is also an amazing writer.
And I remember sitting next to having lunch with Stephen King, and he was having this long conversation with me, and in the middle of it he sort of sat up and he said, "I just solved a plot problem." So while he was talking to me, his writing brain was still working.
And what is it about the Maine environment that you find is it quite conducive to your writing? Is it the long dark winters, or you're from California, and how did you end up on the other coast?
Well, the long dark winters is precisely what helps me. I would have a hard time working in California with the sun shining all the time. I find that when it gets dark and cold and you're stuck inside, you turn inwards. Your imagination just starts to go in overdrive, and that is when I love to write the most, is when I'm stuck inside and there's snow outside.
Oh, well, there's plenty of snow in Maine. Tess, The Last to Die, can you give us just a kind of an overview of the story of this one?
Last to Die is focused on three teenagers. Before the book starts, they are the sole survivors when their families are slaughtered. They were living in different cities. They don't know each other. And now it's 2 years later. They're living in different foster families, and their foster families are murdered. Once again, these three teenagers are the only ones who survive. So Jane Rizzoli and Maura Isles must figure out what links these three kids, what they have in common, and really does it go back deep into the past.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, were you involved in the selection of the narrator for your audiobook, or do you ever sit in on that productions?
The publisher selects the narrator, and I believe it's Tanya Eby for at least I know it is for the abridged version.
Yes, and she does a great job. Well, readers, I want to tell you that this is a wonderful page-turner. You should definitely pick it up. And Tess, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All righty, bye.